Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, and they have an amazing offer for new customers. You bet just $5, that's $5, on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Make sure you use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And goodbye weekend to you, Dustin.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to get back into the flow of things. It was nice to break up that cycle, maybe just watch some college football just for watching college football's sake. I talked to Greg Pickle on Friday, and I said, I bet you're really getting ready to cut it loose for Saturday. And it was pretty much, oh yeah. You know, I can imagine the people on the beat who have been really caught up in the long days and all that stuff, just really looking forward to that Saturday. But Greg looks forward to big sports days as much as anybody I've ever met in my life.
So Greg needed the bye week as much as James Franklin is what you're saying.
I think so, if not more.
Dustin, as a Penn State fan, not having a Penn State game, I had the next best thing on Saturday. If I can't have my favorite team to root for, I could have a game with my least favorite team and root for the opposition. Care to guess which game that was, Dusty?
Well, I mean, I wonder how many fans would say that Iowa, which would be, let me go on the record, that's my guess for you, but that Iowa is now the least favorite team. And I don't think this is some fleeting thing. I think Penn State fans' issues with Iowa they're going to simmer into 2023 when they play again.
I'm not going to forget, Dusty. Not going to forget.
Never forget.
While we're on the topic of Iowa, I hadn't been able to talk to you since all of this transpired. So I do want to get your quick take on it. We have the Iowa fans booing Penn State's injured players. We have Kurt Ferentz, Iowa coach, saying that the fans smell the rat. And we had James Franklin react to it. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I think it is incredibly representative of where we are as an American society in 2021, where there cannot be agreement on, you know, what I think is a fundamental truth in this situation. You know, we've had many, many times where this has come up, a lot of times in the political realm, but just where one side just cannot fathom why the other side thinks the way that they are. So Iowa fans cannot fathom why Penn State fans don't see why they don't see the faking of injuries. And then Penn State fans, and I think a pretty hefty majority of neutral, objective observers are wondering why Iowa fans are taking crazy pills, and that's what they're seeing. And you'll just go round and round and round, and really the seed was planted. Iowa fans booed. I think Kirk Ferentz probably had an opportunity to downplay that or say, hey, you know what? Fans are going to react how they're going to react. But he really just kind of bought into that idea too. And I don't know, maybe they saw something or heard something or you know, in my opinion, a little delusional. But once that's planted out there, I mean, James Franklin had to kind of go to bat for himself because this is, you know, I think maybe a bit of an integrity issue in his eyes of both the college football game, as he put it again and again and again when he responded to this, and just the other team's opinion that he as a coach, you know, would oversee and utilize a tactic like this, despite the fact that it made no strategic sense whatsoever in the flow of that game. But then the new talking point that has surfaced is that maybe if Iowa spent a little bit less time worrying about what the nation thought of them or worrying about the tactics that their previous opponent, allegedly used, they would have been a little better prepared to take on this Purdue team, which went into Iowa and beat them 24-7 on Saturday.
And it could have been even worse than 24-7. Purdue dominated the game. They had the pylon thing where the player jumped for it, dropped the ball before he did it, or this could have been, you know, a 31-7 game. The takeaways I had from that game, though, is Iowa is who we thought they were. Not the number two ranked team and not the second best team in the country, and probably not even close to that. Purdue's better than I really thought they were. And David Bell, you know, we have Jahan Dotson, Purdue has David Bell.
This guy is capable of taking over games, but I don't know if it's, I haven't followed it closely on a week to week basis to know for sure, but three games against Iowa certainly have to rank among his three best games as a football player. So on Saturday, it was 11 catches for 240 and a touchdown. And in three games against Iowa, David Bell has 37 catches for 558 yards and five touchdowns. So you're looking at 12 catches a game, roughly. 11 was actually below what he was averaging against Iowa. Just dominates this team. And it's just, it's, you know, all the different factors. Like, David Bell is good enough to dominate just about anybody, but he really takes it out on Iowa. And this is three games in a row, a huge factor in this game. But as you mentioned, Purdue is a better, more well-rounded team than I probably gave him credit for, too. I think when you lose a couple times early, you tend to fly off everybody's radar. And that's where Purdue was. I think they checked in at number 25 in the AP poll, one of the polls. So the nation's kind of recognizing that win. As you also said, it probably could have been worse for Iowa. And, you know, my belief with Iowa, and I've been minimizing what they've been doing since before the season began, is that, you know, there is such a thing as regression to the mean, which is, you know, they're outperforming what they are. And Iowa is one of those teams where they have proven what they are over the course of 20 plus years over Kirk Ferentz. He has not changed very much. And the personality and the ability of his teams and the way they go about their business looks awfully similar every single year. So I am fully expecting this team to go 9-3 in the regular season. They're one loss on the way there. But what is Iowa every single year? They are a contender for 8-4 or 9-3. It's very, very rare that they're more than that. It's very, very rare that they're less than that. I think they're on their way there right now.
And as a Penn State fan, it was hard not to notice one other thing. Purdue played three quarterbacks, perhaps three competent quarterbacks. So just another little piece of intrigue there. Dustin, why don't we take a look at some of the other things happening around college football? You mentioned about Purdue sneaking into the rankings. They did with the AP poll. They are at number 25. Penn State stayed at number 7. Iowa dropped to 11, I believe it was. Michigan actually jumped Penn State. Not a big deal like a couple weeks ago when we saw Iowa jump ahead of Penn State. Doesn't matter if you're going to get a chance to play that team anyway. But let's look at the bigger, you know, picture in the whole country. You have Georgia as they are the, I guess, the unanimous leader, number one, all the number one votes. They took on an undefeated Kentucky team, which Penn State fans realize Will Levis is at quarterback there. They dominated again.
Not a surprise. I mean, with the way that they are able to own the line of scrimmage and the way that their defense is able to make the field feel small, they're competent offensively. They're not a juggernaut by any means, but this is a team that can smother anybody, and they've shown it and they've proven it. I'm very curious how that ends up playing out over the course of their SEC schedule. There will be tests in the future, including, I would imagine, a probable showdown with Alabama in the SEC championship game. Kentucky is really their only competition in the SEC East, and they just beat them. So 36 points allowed in SEC play so far, 46 points allowed on the season. I mean, this is a historically good defense. And in a year where, you know, you can't say for certain that anybody is any good, Georgia has been the only exception. Cincinnati's still in the ranks of the unbeaten. You have to remember that, you know, the season takes on a life of its own, and you're going to see some teams emerge and they're going to fall off. And we might see, you know, Oklahoma, for example, maybe at the beginning of turning a corner, and they're unbeaten as they do it. Alabama, you can probably count on them to make it through the rest of their year and at least make it to the SEC championship game. So I think we're just starting to see the beginning of things starting to settle in here. It's an oddity kind of year in that you don't really have any idea what anybody's all about beyond Georgia, but we're going to start finding out here really soon.
And of interest to Penn State fans, Auburn beat Arkansas. So they've had now a couple SEC wins. Kind of makes you think again about that Penn State, where they would be in the Southeast Conference, right? We heard some folks talk about that. But what I wanted to ask you about, though, it does appear that Alabama and Georgia are on a collision course for the Southeast Conference championship game. Let's say it does. Georgia goes in undefeated, Alabama with one loss, and Georgia beats Alabama. Could this be the first year that we'll get a two-loss team into the playoffs with Alabama?
I mean, it's if anybody's going to do that, it's going to be Alabama. Now, one of the problems, I guess you could say, is that nobody before their season finale against Auburn, there's nobody left who's ranked currently on their schedule. Tennessee, LSU, I think that's New Mexico State, and Arkansas, and Auburn. So Auburn's the only ranked team left. How much are they going to be able to build their resume back up? What does their resume look like in the grand scheme of things? If anybody's going to defy the two-loss thing, like, to me, that has always been the cutoff. You lose two times, you have essentially been out in this college football playoff. But Alabama, you know, I think the committee has shown that they will take into account a team's, you know, their history, their recent history, their success in the college football playoff, their pedigree. And Alabama checks all those boxes. I just don't know. I mean, a lot of it probably depends on who else emerges. But if you have an unbeaten Oklahoma there and you have an unbeaten Cincinnati, there might be just one spot left to play for. And I don't think a two-loss Alabama will get that one spot with all these unbeatens and all these one-loss teams looking like they'll be there from the Big Ten, for example.
Exactly. I think you're going to – and a one-loss Ohio State that wins the Big Ten championship will get it. Any of these teams emerging from the East, Penn State, Michigan, Michigan State, if they can get to the Big Ten championship game, win that, and have either zero losses or one loss, that's the team that's going to go. And you got to think they have to go over a two-loss Alabama. The question to me, the interest would be, if either Ohio State or Penn State has two losses but has enough good wins, more so than Alabama, then what are we going to see? All right, that's it, Dustin, for quarter number one. Let's get our midseason review going in quarter number two.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.